Salutations, everybody. It is Maddie here today, and welcome to Defining Duke Ultimate. This is episode 107. It's a Defining Duke supplement. Forgot to say that part. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, I am joined by head of creative for Defining Duke, Lord Cognito. Cog, how are you?
Listen, I might be leaving soon, so I don't know how long I'll be in this role. What's going on, Maddie, man? Just, you know, it's been fun. It's been fun. We haven't did a little ultimate action in a while. Feels like it's been
it has been a while.
Yeah, it feels like it's been a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I didn't get a chance to do my warrior thing, the ultimate thing. But I'm good, man. We got things to talk about, you know. But so how are you doing, sir? What's going on with you?
I'm tired. You know, it's weird. I haven't slept a complete night in a while. Ooh. I just keep waking up in the middle of the night. Don't know why. Ooh, like, I'll go to bed, wake up 3 hours later, wake up again. It's not hard falling back asleep, but I just keep waking up, man. I'm very, very stressed right now. So I think that's a big reason why, but it is annoying because I'm just like functioning on empty, but I'm like getting to bed responsibly. I'm like trying to get as much sleep as I can. It's just getting broken up. And I always tell people, like, for me, it's not lack of sleep. It's broken sleep that gets me. So
yeah, I'm the same way. And it's the worst. The worst feeling is when you are responsible and prepare to go to bed early and to be responsible and you can't go to sleep. That's the worst. See, for us older gentlemen, it's usually, oh, the bladder. You got to go to the bathroom.
See, that's the thing. I'm starting a little too early. I haven't had to go up and do that. But for me, it's the, I'm waking up 3 hours later. I'm just like, oh man, I feel kind of rested. I look at my clock. It's 6 a.m. I'm just like, what? What?
Nah, I feel you, brother. That sucks. Hopefully you can figure that out, because there's nothing worse than interrupted sleep, because it's hard to go back. It's hard. Yeah, I got little tricks, you know, eat a little something or whatever, whatever, but it's hard. It's hard. I feel you, brother.
Yeah, so otherwise doing okay, but I don't think any of us are doing, who knows, as good or bad as Joe Staten is doing right now. He's the subject of today's discussion. He's been making some moves, and we wanted to dedicate this DDU to a little conversation about what may be going on at the man who is the center of attention over at 343 and how he steered that ship and his, for many fans, seemingly early departure and now where he's going and what he's up to. It's an interesting change of events, certainly. And so we're going to get into it, into the thick of things, as we always do with Defining Duke Ultimate. As always, we thank those of you who are listening to our little supplemental show. If you're hearing this, you are a patron, and we appreciate your support here on patreon.com/laststandmedia, where, of course, you get early access to this show before it ever hits free feeds, goes live, and then our main show. So thank you for being a part of what we are doing and our cursed thumbnails, it seems. A lot of people really like what we did.
Yo, the thumbnails is crazy.
Yeah, a lot of people were going nuts over it. I was like, okay, we did good with that one.
Yeah,
good.
Shout out to Dustin. He killed that. They said I look like Dominican Barrett. I was like, yo, I can't front. Yo, he killed that, man. Salute to Dustin. Yeah. He's on fire with the thumbnails.
Absolutely. So with that, let's talk about Joe Staten. So a little background for those who have heard his name a lot of times on our show. They understand the importance of him, but you don't know really why he's important. So he was a big part of three Halo games in the early days for Xbox, but then he left to join Xbox Game Publishing. Now, where the twist of fate happens is with 343 struggling and they delay Halo Infinite once more out of 2020, the Xbox Series X console launch window into 2021. It was this moment of, wow, you know, what is going on here? But Staten was brought in to steer the ship, to land the plane, as he would say. And so this was to get the game out, as we know, by that December 2021 launch date. And as we saw, as we got deeper into the summer and the fall period, a lot of the hype and faith was being restored for Halo. Now, the launch obviously speaks for itself. We know how the launch for Halo went. But really, where we want to fast forward to is January of this year. So we know the story of 2022 was just, where is Halo Infinite support? Why is it so slow? And then we see Bonnie Ross leave. We see the layoffs happen as part of the restructuring at Microsoft. And 343 was a big part of that, probably the one that was hit the hardest out of any Xbox game studio. And so Joe Staten ends up leaving 343 in January of this year as part of that restructuring to return to a role in Xbox Game Publishing. Now, we all thought that's where he'd settle for a while, sort of this more invisible role after being in the public eye for so long and being loved by most fans. But now the news has broken, first via IGN, then eventually confirmed by Joe Staten, that he is leaving Microsoft entirely on a new adventure. So we'll read his tweet real quickly, and then we'll get into the thick of what he may be up to. So he does write over on Twitter, "Hey folks, I am indeed leaving Microsoft. I'll have more info to share soon, but for now, I'd just like to thank all of my Xbox colleagues for their understanding and support as I embark on a new adventure." And so seeing that, obviously a lot of ideas immediately come to mind, what this new venture is, new studios, he joined the other team, if you will. And obviously what this means for 343 and future content, because I do think him fully departing is indicative entirely of where Infinite's going as a product and when we may see another Halo game. So Cog, with all of that set up, I want to dish it over to you on how you took to this news and what you think Staten may be up to.
Yeah, this was big news for me this week. I definitely didn't see this coming. I remember, like you said, when you talked about the order of things, I definitely remember, obviously, the layoffs at 343 and obviously the big shakeup, the firing of Bonnie. And then, I believe my gentleman, what is Butcher's name? Mr. Heinz. But, him going into that role and then them having that shift. And the thing that was interesting was prior to the layoffs and the shift, the last time we saw Staten was kind of like at a Halo 343 update event. And he was talking about how like they were going to get more adaptive and creative as far as the content drops and things of that nature. And what excited me at the time was that, it felt like there was a chance that we was going to get narrative content, right? Really substantial. It felt like substantial narrative content. As we all know, the way Halo ended, and then, at this point, the Endless, and, all the things that they could talk about, there was a part of me, because the game is Halo Infinite, that, they were going the live service route, so to speak, even with the narrative. Like, as a Destiny player, I thought they were going, okay, we're going to have like a yearly expansion where if we don't even extend Master Chief's story, we can tell, hey, what goes on with Locke or what goes on with other things in this vast universe, so to speak. And I thought that was going to be key. So fast forward to where we are today, we know about the restructuring. He goes over in his other role, but I've always felt like he's still always going to be a consultant, slow key, even though he's not in the role, but he's available, because that's the key. The key with Staten in all of this is that when Halo Infinite was at its lowest, this man was called, he got up off his couch to offer his assistance, right? So now when he says, hey, he's moving on, and to the statement, he's looking to embark on this new adventure, it's one of two things, right? It could be, hey, was it bad blood, or was it, hey, I've just been in this role for so long and now I need something new, completely different career-wise, being like, he's kind of like a Microsoft / Bungie lifer kind of guy. So this is interesting. I don't know. I'm still processing, on that. We still have to wait, obviously, for what he has to say. Clearly Microsoft statement, we're grateful for Joseph's contribution to the Halo franchise and Xbox as a whole. And we wish him all the best in his new adventure. So everyone's playing, respectful, line during the thing. But we have to see. But yeah, this news overall definitely shocked me. Only because I could understand leaving Xbox or 343 and Halo and stuff like that, but Microsoft entirely is something, that's interesting to me. It's interesting.
Yeah, he was there for a really long time, too, when you think about it. So, it definitely may have required a change of scenery for Joe, which certainly makes sense, right? You do something for so long, you want to try something new. I apologize, by the way, if anyone hears any hammering. That's going to be my version of the cop sirens. Right as Cog and I sat down to record this, I was like, can you hear that? And for some reason, I don't know what the frig they're doing. They are going ham on the hammer. So apologies, but we're just going to have to live through my cop sirens for an episode, it seems. I will mute when I can.
I don't feel so bad now.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's the shoes on the other foot this time. You're good. Cops are inside for me. I got the hammer. So, it's funny. The last time this happened was one of our first DDUs. It was our first interview for DDU. We brought Mike Rose on, and I was talking to him about his Game Pass. Like, it was a big interview, right? Like, what's going on? Like, you know, how does this help in, you know, independent developers? And all you hear is in the background, like, bang, bang, bang. Just mute constantly that episode. I digress.
You're good, bro. You're good.
I digress. Yeah, you know, this is something I see as more of a change of scenery, because the hopscotch moves, if you will, just all over the place, to me, indicate just a desire to be somewhere else, and obviously some of it out of his control. But, you know, maybe what he did rediscover in his time with Infinite is that, you know, when you come into something so late, there's only so much you can control, right? Like, the product was mostly defined by 2020. And there were only subtle changes that could be made. Like, hey, let's add the Marines into the story here. Like, let's let them be picked up and you can go into missions with them. That type of stuff, right? Like, not overhauling the system, but new mechanics added onto what was already the core product. And I could speculate that he may think to himself a bit of, well, what if I were to be there from day one and steer the ship? Because I'm sure managing over at 343 taught a ton of lessons. You know, we've heard the rumors about splinter factions within the company, where so many different teams were producing prototypes to present for the future of Halo and not really working towards something in the future. And it seemed like a very siphoned off kind of studio. And so he may be observing all this and seeing, like, this is too big for its own good, yada, 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 and may have wanted to go off on his own. But I really hope it does lead to him finding another studio, because this is just goes into the fear of consolidation in our industry, as we continue to see veterans work at big teams, develop their name, develop their, if you will, their, not the word clout's what I'm looking for here, but a lot of people are familiar with them now, and yes, they have a respect and aura to them. And they start their own new venture, and they get a lot of people to join up. And I would love to see Staten kind of give it a shot as the top man, right? And just run a small team that's working on, like, an ambitious first person shooter. I think, you know, a lot of fans with Halo understood a big reason why that game even came out in the state it did was because he fought for the quality. And it's very rare. You see quality focused devs aren't hard to find, but one that can actually convince someone like Microsoft, hey, quality matters and you should hold this for as long as possible, I do think is rare, especially when, you know, you're pushing out of the Series X launch window to 1 year later. I think that is significant. So my fingers are crossed that it is a new studio, a new venture quite like that. I don't know if Joe's going to want to just join and be a cog in the gears, if you will, like he was in the scheme of things. Granted, he was a pretty big cog, but like you, cog, but he, you know, he, but yeah, he, I feel like probably if you're going to make that next step independently, you would want to run the ship yourself. That's just my guess, of course. You know, that'd be what I would want to do. Yeah. Otherwise, why leave the cushy job at Microsoft unless it's just a need for a major change? But what do we know? We're not in his mind. We're not in his day-to-day life. So he could be thinking otherwise. But what do you think about all that? Yeah. Where do you think he's heading?
It's interesting, right? You broke down beautifully the different scenarios. I think that, like, you know, on one hand, you have almost, like I said, this Microsoft life for this person who has a multi-talented skill set. Like, this guy is also, like, he wrote, you know what I'm saying, narratively, you know, the games and stuff like that. When I'm looking at him, like, writer and director of all cinematics, Halo Combat Evolved, Halo 2, one of the ones that did the actual E3 demos. He's a writer, designer, even before that, of Oni, early Bungie, Myth 2, Soul Fighter, you know, author, Halo Contact Harvest. So besides the development chops and how to make a game under high-pressure situations, because people forget, like Halo, and especially Halo 2, had tremendous pressure internally from Microsoft, because once they had a hit, it was like, okay, we got what we, Halo 2 has to be bigger, better, has to be all these things. Then you throw in the, you know, the online or whatever, all the different, the multiplayer aspects of it. And he had that pressure. So to me, what was key about him, again, coming on, you know, so to speak, off the couch for Halo Infinite, you know, is that I always thought it was interesting and very powerful that he was able to say to Microsoft, we need to delay this game a year, when they had every intention to put it out, right? So back to your question, as far as where, you know, where he goes, I could, my gut is telling me, unless it's Bungie, which is his core roots, and let's say Pete Parsons, CEO, you know, of Bungie, let's say Luke Smith and the team would say, hey, man, you family. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, yo, we got, and here's the thing.
You're rooting for the home team here?
I'm not rooting for it. It's just that King has, I gotta give King credit. He was screaming this, but he's like, Bungie, I'm telling you, he's going back to Bungie. So now, you know, King with his little console war and self, he definitely acting like, oh, he going to the other side because now Bungie's over there. But remember, here's the other thing. Bungie has projects outside of Destiny that's going on right now. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, one is, you know, it's called, why am I blanking on the name? And I'm a Destiny guy right now. Matter, codename Matter. Mm. So that is supposed to be, you know, hero shooter potentially, right? There's other projects maybe that they may have in the pipes. You know, they have big plans for Destiny still. So, and he also was on Destiny. He was part of the creation of the narrative and stuff for Destiny. He has Destiny ties. So it is interesting to me if Luke and them, he made a call, right? But what I think would be dope is what you said, which is he just says, you know what? I've been a fixer and I've been a person that get things across the finish line for the majority of my career, as well as this amazing, talented writer, right? What if I just say, you know what? I'm going to do it myself. The Thanos, you know, sometimes you got to get on you. You put the Thanos down. You got to get up and do it yourself.
Myself.
Yeah. Like maybe he's at that point and he's just like, you know what? I know what to do. I know how to run a team. And then through the experiences at 343 with contractors and how not to do things.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like all we hear about 343 is how not to do things. And it just, how could you not walk away and say, oh, I want to see how I do with things done the right way.
And to your point, if you were frustrated, let's just say you don't like the new role, you were excited about coming back on Halo Infinite because he seemed like he was in pocket to stay before the layoffs and the shakeup. He seemed like he was comfortable with. So now that ends, head's role. He's in this other role. Maybe he does not like this other role, right? I'm just guessing. I have no inside information on this one. Mm-hmm. I didn't ask around yet. But you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, you know, it could be that type of scenario where it's like, hey, I don't like my new role. And maybe it's time to do something else. So I would probably want selfishly for him to do that, but I wouldn't be mad if he went back to the home scene because that's where his roots are. So we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's very probable. I think Matter is a good point because I was thinking Destiny is so established. Like that is truly becoming just a cog in the gear, right? Because, you know, what's going to change with Destiny? I mean, I might be speaking from a place of ignorance, maybe like one of the expansions and whatnot could be a good jumping off point. But yeah, I think like if he were to join with Matter, that would be a really good point for him. But how far along would that technically be? That's been in the rumor mill for a while, right?
Yeah, man. I forgot the gentleman who's I see his face, kind of heavy set guy, blonde. I always butcher his name, forget his name, but he's been assigned to that project, and he has it on his Twitter page. But it's been a while now. I would say at least 2 or 3 years now. Mm. It's been a while. So if I had to guess, you know, 2024 or late 2024, early 2025, we should start hearing about it soon. Like it's we're getting to that point because it's, you know, this unannounced project, you know, kind of thing. So he could be on that. And to Destiny's credit, you know, even though I know people like, hey, Destiny's a cog and it's all in its set in its ways, but right now they just came off a expansion with Lightfall, right? The end game for them is Final Shape. Final Shape is the end of the Light and the Dark saga. That's supposedly, let's say Final Shape is 20, it's definitely gonna be 2024. So if that's the case, they have to then chart their future for what happens after that. That's like a huge, like no one's like, what's gonna happen to the Destiny universe narratively after the Light and Darkness saga ends? That's also, it is a possibility, you know what I mean, kind of thing. So it would be interesting. It would be interesting.
But you think that'll be the end of Destiny 2? Or
well, the arc definitely. The talk is when does Destiny ditch past gen? Because the engine, you know, showing its age a little bit.
Gotcha.
You know, it's been there kind of thing. So you have that type of transition to kind of next gen only kind of bit. There's a lot of questions. It's called the Final Shape. And here's the last thing. light fall for now that it's got the reception it's getting, we're realizing that this was kind of an emergency stopgap that wasn't part of the roadmap.
Oh.
We're learning now. What we're learning, shout out to Tiger Travis, we had him on DD before. But what we're learning is that a lot of this stuff was supposed to be part of Final Shape. So they kind of made a location, this little cyberpunk location, like they made things up and then put pieces of what they could put, because there's still things, like even the way we acquired our powers, that seem disjointed narrative. Like what this? So again, we're learning evidence that these things were supposed to be, even some in Witch Queen. So they're kind of behind. Mm-hmm. And they, yeah, so that's what we're learning a lot narratively right now. So he could come over there, you know, and I will say this, as much as Witch Queen was amazing, the consensus in the Destiny community right now is that the game is more buggier than ever. Like, it's really buggy. It's been like, you know, the consensus is that the core playlists have not been touched outside of the PvE, the new story, new campaign of expansion, new raid, new power, yes. But there haven't been Crucible maps in, like, years. It's ridiculous. Like, it's really a joke. Gambit has not been updated in, like, years. It's a joke. And these are what they consider the three ritual playlists. Strikes, which we probably get one strike an expansion, you know what I'm saying, kind of thing, maybe. PvP, the PvP community feel like they just like a bad stepchild. Like, you know, you're like, father, daddy don't visit me no more. Like that kind of energy, you know what I'm saying?
Living beneath the staircase, yep.
So again, if you break out down Destiny, yeah, exactly. Like, bro, it's not in the greatest place outside of when a new expansion, you know, comes out kind of thing. Once that ends, then it's like, we got to go back to the core stuff. So again, it could be picked. Here, see, on cue for you now.
There we go. All right, we're trading blows.
They like, look, Maddie outside, we got a battle here. But no, but I just wanted to paint the picture on Destiny and then how things are not as rosy as it seems. And then, and last thing I will say, there is talk, I'm not subscribing to this yet, but there is talk that because Bungie's, it's called brain drain syndrome, because Bungie has been acquired, but one of the central reasons Sony acquired them is for their live service expertise. Mm. So the thought process is like, oh, now they don't have enough time to focus on their main games, and maybe that's why they're suffering. And maybe Staten is offered something to kind of help them out in that area, whatever, with the brain drain of Sony, so to speak. I don't subscribe 100% to it, but that has been some of the talk.
Wherever he goes, he's definitely going to be in some type of leadership position, right? Because you got me wanting to peep his LinkedIn, and I love the way he describes himself here.
Yes,
it is so professional. It's like, respectfully, I'm the shit. So he says, I'm fortunate to have had industry defining accomplishments, most notably co-creating the multi-billion-dollar Halo and Destiny franchises. My expertise is building iconic, enduring worlds and then designing innovative, emotionally rich experiences within them that have inspired tens of millions of players to come back day after day, year after year, to share their passions with friends. In my 20-plus year career, I've thrived as a leader of cross-functional, dynamic, high-performing teams, rallying them to achieve bold goals with integrity, curiosity, humor, and grit. I believe the best leaders are humble and show up to serve, and I'm grateful every time I meet someone who tells me their most cherished gaming moments come from an experience I helped create. I'm just saying that wherever he goes, he's definitely going to be one of the top dogs for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ridiculous.
I think he's done writing books and all that stuff. He's now he's not doing creative consultancy and all that stuff. His time will be spent at the head of something, whatever it may be. But this obviously can shift us. You know, Bungie seems like the number one pick. Two would probably be his own studio. And I think that's where that conversation could kind of lay and rest until Staten talks on it more. What I'd also like to discuss is what this kind of signals for Halo Infinite in general, because, you know, we've definitely had a number of leaks, a number of reports, especially out of Bloomberg, on what's going on with 343, right? Like, more platforms than ever before. So we're anticipating Halo leaving Xbox at some point in time. However, one of the big rumors was of course, the story content. You know, where's the story content? What's going on? Because Halo Infinite, it's not talked about a lot because it's really lost in that live service conversation. It did end on a cliffhanger. And I think a lot of reviewers, myself to a degree included, were ready to accept that cliffhanger because the anticipation was much of what you described at the start of the show, Cog. Like, oh, Infinite, there's going to be more, right? And maybe that just wasn't communicated at all. However, this, I think, indicates that we're not getting Halo story content for a while. Because with Staten out, I do share the sentiment that you did, Cog, of, yeah, like, he's going to be the guy that they still kind of tap on the shoulder. Yo, bro, we were thinking about doing this. How do you feel about this? Like, he's not in the thick of it. He's not in the weeds, but you can bounce a thing or two off of him. Because that's an Xbox game studio publishing. Like, that would be part of his role, right? To give feedback to all of Xbox game studios, but 343 being one of them. So I feel like that back and forth relationship to some degree would still exist. And now with him completely gone, that was your, I think, story guy. Like, I feel the one who cared about the Halo single player, because when you get those little idiosyncrasies, right? Again, we'll go back to the Marine example. Sorry if it's the one I'm latching onto a lot, but when you get something like that, it's understanding the dynamic intermittent stories told in when you travel with your Marines. Like, I will tell you tons of stories about my time in Combat Evolved, the Silent Cartographer, you know, you're on the beach storming the Covenant, and then you get the Warthog dropped off by the Pelican, and then you ride around the beach. And I just, man, they produce so many stories because of how dynamic the gameplay is. But there was a comfort in having those Marines there. And so to understand that and inject them into Halo Infinite may seem like an obvious choice, but clearly it wasn't a 343. And I think Staten understood things like that, right? He got the little things down pat. I think there's no coincidence that with him on board, Infinite following, especially Halo 5, I don't think Halo 4 was as bad as people say, but Halo 5, you know, you had a very talkative Master Chief where Infinite felt purposeful. And that's not to take away, by the way, the hard work done by writers, producers, editors, all that stuff to get this vision right. Because a lot of it was solidified when Staten came in. But you could tell this, I feel that game was kind of put together with scotch tape. Yeah, you could just feel different pieces were sort of pasted together.
Yeah.
With that element gone, right? And now we have the rumor, the report saying that Infinite will just be that live service game moving forward. And now Staten completely out of Xbox, I think this means for a long while we are not seeing Chief come back for the story. I think it's going to be a long, long while. And that is, in a way, Cog, exciting, because I actually wonder if this is their moment. Halo Infinite was supposed to be the soft reset, your almost God of War PS4 moment, where you see elements of the continuation, like you see the scar in Kratos' chest from where he got stabbed by Zeus, I believe, right? Like, you see that stuff continuing to PS4, but it is a new beginning, if you will, and like a new mythos. However, with Chief, Infinite was supposed to be that soft new beginning. There were things that were clearly referenced throughout the entire story, especially with Cortana, that were prevalent. But I feel like, are they going to look at the state of things and say, maybe we kind of free ourselves to as much as possible of those Bungie shackles, let the past be the past, and move to a new chapter.
Ooh.
Now, that does mean that you are leaving the official, like when you start Combat Evolved and you go to Infinite, that arc is incomplete. That is daring to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they have written themselves into so many corners with this game. And when you got Staten gone now, like this dude who is there writing like Halo 2, right? So in the thick of the lore, writing books in the thick of the lore, Cog.
Yes.
I mean, not that it all hinges on him, but I feel like that's a pretty defining force to have among your team to kind of dictate where the story goes. And I just wonder if it's time for that reset button.
Listen, man, this is bold talk.
You gotta propose it, right? This has to be a conversation they're having.
Of course. I mean, you know, I'm not saying your theory is out of realm or out of line. It's bold, you know, and usually, you know, those types of bold decisions some, you know, it could be volatile sometimes with the fan base. Like, how do they handle, especially, you know, how you handle it. So look, on some level, there has been, you know, some retconning, because if we look at Infinite, they act like Guardians sometimes, like Guardian didn't even happen. Mm-hmm. Like they're, so low key, there was that. Now, the key question is, again, Staten coming into this consultant role, similar how like now our man Mark Dara will be kind of coming into that role for Dragon's Age, right? Mm. So at some point, stuff is already set, but you're tweaking and you're saying, hey, this needs to happen, that needs to happen, because this would truly represent the feel of Halo, what Halo means and what it's supposed to be. That's the energy I get from him, right? But when he now stayed on, to your point, what if those discussions were already had, right? Which is like, hey, I'm going to stay. We're going to do, you know, story content. We got these drops. This is how we're thinking about doing. And the question is, before the layoffs and the shakeup, what are these plans still in motion, or were they completely cut off? Now, if they're in motion and they still say, hey, we kind of had a plan for like a retcon or a soft reboot, right? And reimagine this universe. Because look, this is one thing I will say. For them to do the firing and do all that stuff, and then to make the public statements to say, hey, Halo Infinite, remember what Kurt Hines said? He's like, Halo Infinite is still, the story will continue. Remember the rumors were like, yo, Halo is out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really bad. The fact that 343 had to make, some people didn't even like that statement. Remember, people were like, oh, really? It's going to continue with you? Like, remember, people were mad.
More like a threat than a promise.
That was your statement. I remember it. You know what I'm saying? So I remember it was Pierre Heights. So, yeah, man. The question now becomes, are they bold enough to do a complete retcon, fresh start kind of deal? You know, with who is remaining. And that's my concern. And I'm going to be honest. I know Pierre's chops as far as saving Master Chief Collection, turning it into how amazing it is now, almost to the point where people playing more Master Chief Collection than they playing Infinite. You know what I'm saying? So his job
on that boat.
His job on turning that around is good. Now, in fairness to Infinite, with these lately seasonal drops, people are like, yo, Infinite's in a good place. Forge in a good place. The new content's good. You know what I'm saying? It's just that now we need substantial content. We also know that the Certain Affinity situation is how. Does Certain Affinity step in and have more of a role? There are a lot of questions here. But to your point, how would the community take a retcon, like a soft reboot? You got me thinking. Yeah. It would have to be done really right. Because, you know, without Staten there, I have to be honest, like I'm a little worried for them narratively. I'm never going to be worried about the multiplayer, the core sandbox, because it's just amazing. You can't really butcher that too much. You know, even five, the multiplayer was amazing. Just people didn't like where they went narratively, right? Yeah. So yeah, we got to see this. That would be huge. That's you got to be really thinking on that one.
Yeah, I just wonder with Staten gone, if obviously now's your perfect time to hit a reset button. Like, you've just had layoffs, you've had restructuring, one of your big pieces is gone, now out of Xbox entirely. I feel like you really got to look at the chessboard, all the pieces, and heavily lay out the next set of moves, which every team should do, by the way, have some type of roadmap in mind. But I mean, really plot it out. And I've always been a big advocate of 343 instead of restarting, if anything, because I think that's probably a tantalizing proposition. But starting to experiment with spinoffs more, kind of getting away from the pressure that comes with a mainline Halo game, because I don't think, and this is obviously subjective, but like, to me, I think the best Halo game 343's made is Halo Wars 2. Like, I think the story was good with Atrioc, I think his name is.
Oh, yeah, Atrioc, baby. Oh, yeah.
Just the introduction to him, this fearless kind of villain, killing tons of Spartans.
Yes. Oh,
really so cool. Really, really cool. Mm-hmm. Especially following up 5, it was that awkward moment of going, wait, this is way better. Now, granted, co-developed with Creative Assembly, but I imagine 343 was responsible for the narrative there. So I feel like when they are alleviated from that pressure of the mainline game, they seem to find their footing a little better, if that was anything to go by.
Okay.
So I wonder if when they if they could do more spinoffs and kind of build the story around Infinite, and then almost like what Mandalorian's doing for the new trilogy of Star Wars, where you're building in through these gaps and suddenly it's lifting everything up, just like the Clone Wars show went into every gap of the prequels, and now everyone's like, the prequels are amazing. I think that is, for all the critique Star Wars and Disney gets, I do think that's a sound strategy in salvaging a already told tale. Is like, instead of going back and reworking the already established thing, you work in the in-betweens. And I think that could help 343 out a lot. But the options are on the table for them. And now with Staten completely out, they are truly in a sink or swim moment, right? It's like, okay, we have to tread water on our own here, which I think they're capable of doing. But it's something that I hope they don't rush into. And I'm very curious where the narrative goes, because ideally, you know, you want to see Chief's story, I put in quotes, wrap up. Kind of had its opportunity to wrap up. But I, if you have to restart, it would be an awkward point to restart, but I also wouldn't blame them. I think a lot of people would and be, what is wrong with you? But I just feel like that Bungie tie, they just need to find a way to sever it, because I think it's just killing them. So
okay,
we'll see. We've said a lot about, of course, 343, but the point being is that with Staten out, it seems like the final confirmation that the Halo story content probably won't be coming for a while. And with that in mind, where 343 goes from there will be anybody's guess, it seems. But again, Staten out and leaving Xbox/Microsoft for an entirely new adventure. Cog, any additional thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, this is a legend in the space. Let's just be very clear. This man is so talented, and I don't think he gets respect, there's no doubt. But I was like, I don't think people truly understand the scope of all the things he does. And yeah, this is definitely, you know, a impactful departure. I feel, you know what I'm saying? I feel this is definitely, you know, because even leaving 343, I mean, leaving Microsoft, you know, this is someone who has, like I said, global partnership experience. He's so, you know, well-versed at different things within the company, and knows how game development works, and knows how to get relationships. You know, he's been on so many different things, you know what I'm saying, as far as senior creative director at Microsoft, global publishing. You know, it's a lot that he does. And yeah, I'm very curious, you know, again, what kind of now satiates him, what kind of gets him going for this next level. And look, he's going to be missed. There's no question. A guy like this, and I get it, you know, people are not going to stay in the same job forever. You know what I'm saying? He's an older gentleman. I think he's in his, you know, his 50s, you know what I'm saying, kind of thing. And, you know, he probably wants to change and stuff like that. So I understand no one stays in the same position forever. I have to be clear in fairness there. It's going to be a day, you know, Phil ain't going to be there forever either. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone does move on at some point. You know, my only, I'm going to say, issue or concern was just that the way the Infinite thing concluded and whatever was going on after, if that did not, you know, either sit with him, or he's just kind of, you know, creatively bored. And he's just like, hey, I need to do something new. Like, I need to do that. But I want to give him his flowers, man. This is a legend. And I just love every time, you know, you got a chance to hear him talk about game development and story and things of that nature. You saw the passion there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what his next adventure is. And hopefully we'll hear that soon. But yeah, this was definitely a big news this week. Huge.
Yeah. And one last point I noticed as well, just pinging around his LinkedIn, he did post when all of the layoffs happened and he was shifted over. He said, it's been a hard week on the Halo team right now. I'm 100% focused on helping people who lost their jobs find great new ones. There's a little bit more here about the Halo team, but that could describe a bit of what he was up to. So maybe he completed that job, and then this was a part of the plan all along, was to leave. Right. So
it could be. That's a good point, too. You know, it's a lot of these things sometimes are like transition plans, and they may have been, you know, already set in motion. Hey, I'm going to do this, but I had in motion that I was going to go, you know, anyway. So you could be absolutely right. That's something that we wouldn't be privy to, but it could come out.
Absolutely. So we'll see. I imagine in the next couple of weeks, we'll learn what Staten's up to, but worthy of the DDU treatment just to see what our man is up to and just talk about all that. Definitely another one on the interview list we'd love to have on at some point. That would be amazing just to pick his brain and all he's done in his career. But we will wait for that moment. Until then, Cog, this is our speculation on what's going on with Staten, Halo, and all that good stuff. So again, any closing thoughts or shall I wrap it up?
Again, salute to the legend, Joseph, man. Tremendous memories, you know what I mean? Yes, and I can't wait to see what you do, you know, just a powerhouse at Microsoft. And then, you know, 3 for 3, I'm pulling for you. I'm hoping that, you know, you guys have a clear vision as far as, you know, what you want to do for the franchise. And my only word of advice is, narratively, don't follow the Paramount series. If you're gonna retcon, don't follow that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah.
And with that sound advice, I have nothing else to add on top of that. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed this episode of Defining Duke Ultimate, a Defining Duke supplement. Take decent care of yourselves, and we will see you in a couple weeks for episode 108. Until then, peace out.
Peace.
Defining Duke, an Xbox podcast, is a product and trademark of Last Stand Media and Collins Last Stand LLC, and is recorded from the United States of America. The show is conceived by Matthew Mr. Matty Plays Schroeder and me, Colin Moriarty, and is written and produced by Matthew Schroeder. Matty's co-host is Barry Lord Cognito Eversley. Defining Duke's executive producer is Dustin Furman, and the show is edited by associate producer Ben Smith. All of Last Stand's theme music is by Ramon Narvaez. As you know, all of Last Stand Media's shows, including Defining Duke, are fan-funded on Patreon at patreon.com/laststandmedia. The following names are at the producer support level on Patreon, and we're thankful for your kindness and generosity. William Holbert, Stephen Nieder, Ross Marenka, Miguel A. Brewer, Morgan Ashley, Azan, Michael Vecchio, SLDFMA, Daniel D. Amore, Brad Cooley, Jeremy Key, Patrick Leslie, Malachi Wall, Dave Cowell, Donald John Vader, Stephen Innerfield, Alex, Hugo Delaguia, Austin Michael Lipka, Tim Smith, Doc Lowe, Harold Eustache, Will Williams, Dino's Roar, Nicholas Renault, Shane Breck, Jack Sin, Sean Llewellyn, Michael Mashed Potato, Sweaty Magic, Nate Izod, Hargeet Chani, Ellis, Albion, Logan Turner, Josh Schullinger, Gunner117, Andrew Roman, Jacob Donovan, Eduardo Perez, Alex the Mute, My Name is Mayo, Logan Byford, Eddie Medina, Jason R. Zahn, Sean Hatfield, Christopher Knock, Sean Gulati, Grayson Maxwell, Cody Woodall, Jonas Young, Sort of Serious Gaming, Colin Farley, Mark Arnold, Whiskey Sin, Zia Parrick, Sean Miles, Relentless Rex, Alan Tiniak, Dustin Klingman, Christian R., Jad Rita, Patrick Skipper, Brian Hernandez Espinoza, Dustin Graff, Zach Cohen, Peyton Stone, John Keegan, Michael Buffel, Dan Root, Asek Paredes, Dante Sharp, Talisman, Christopher Morgan, Randall Halsey, Dio or Die, Nuke Dukem, JimBob56, T-Bone 007, Josh Godfrey, Kalike Souza, Vornak, Betty Ann Moriarty, Travis, Ross Chandler, H-Trons, Antonio C., Ryan, Jay Getter, Bjorn Campbell, Theo, Jeff Mercado, Gregory Savinsky, Jordan Gale, Of Fortuna, John Zile, Boots, Tyler Brown, Megadeth, Poot, Gavin Newland, Alex Lapeer, Saul Balcazar, Berto64, Raul Melendez, Eric Harden, Matt Flowers, Kinnums, Joseph Baker, Kendrick Callis, Jimmy Rodriguez, Caswell, TB Lightning, Dave Alvarez, Will Hernandez, Chris Galvin, Mason Kadalak, Ollie Fritz, Zach Allum, Kyle Hagel, Colin Love, Daryl E. Naiman, Ryan R. Kittredge, Toby Ryland, Stewie108, Patrick Montgomery, DB Cooper, Richter86, Steve Hodge, Noah J. Stevens, Barrett Boswell, Christopher DeVio, Chris Morton, Johnny Waffles, Roto24, Jonathan Coates, Sean Mason, Josh Gravelick, Jordan Town, Brian Chand, Organic Produce, Carlos Algarit, Mike Menzel, Night Draft, James Hayes, Richard Hebert III, Miranda Grubba, Joosh, Martin Beck, Gavin, Jerome Ferreira, Joey Andrzejczyk, Nathan R., Joe McPartlin, Gary Cavallo, Christopher Moore, Jacob Bell, Dennis Usel, Lewin Ray Loper, Jonathan Cortez, John Schultz, Tom Quinn, Ann K., Alan Trembley, Tyler Bello, Ryan T. Mandel, Pork and Beans, Tony Zuniga, Robbie Hensley, Shane Miller, Alex Cabrera, Corey Dustin, Hugo's Desk, Peter Reynolds, Anthony Vasquez, Adam Kinniston, William O'Carroll, JSC0828, Jorge Powell, Max Cannon, Tomas Sablin, Phil Crone, Throw7, Adam Nix, Josh McKinney, Michael Gates, Alex Gates, Ryan Robertson, Sean Chandler, Lockmore, Gio Corsi, Joey Gonhaliger, Alex Monez, Gerald Pennington, Justin Payne, Justin Wagaman, Austin Riley, Paul Joyce, Alan Hopkins, Chad Lewis, Enrique Perez, Joshua Smallwood, Logan Willis, Shane Rayum, Spencer Brand, Don Lee, John Cordero, Greg Julius, Ashley Carlson, Marius Scarson-Peterson, Ryan Greenwood, Tyler Harris, Patrick Carper, Madmock Media, Bull Burkholz, and Jonathan Rice.